So we've been in a series called Christian. And so the whole idea, I won't give you the full recap today, but the whole idea is that the word Christian brings about joy to a lot of people, but also anger and frustration to many others. And it's because it's undefined. You know, Jesus never called those who followed him Christians. Other people called Christ followers that. It's not a bad word, but a person can live how they want, do what they want, say they want, believe what they want, and say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Now, disciple is a little harder to do that with because it's very well defined. Jesus let everybody know, you know, if you're going to be my disciple, then you have to follow me, all right? And a disciple seeks to become like the one who's teaching them, their rabbi, for you and me, like Jesus. So, and Jesus had said, you know, if you want to get, if you can get one thing straight, make sure that you love just as I have loved you. All right, so a question we asked, I think, in week one is, are you a disciple or are you just a Christian? All right, now again, the word Christian is not a bad word. We can use it just fine. But I think it'd be a very good thing for us to do is to help redefine it in people's lives, because for a lot of people, when they hear that, they don't think positive things. All right, so today we're going to talk about something that drives us crazy in other people, but we overlook in our own life. You know, isn't that kind of funny how that works? So just as an example, imagine a parent telling their teenager, all right, so I'm going to be gone for a little while. Make sure that you don't have your friends over. And so the teen's like, all right. It's like, all right, because we've had this problem in the past before, so make sure you don't have any your friends over, all right? And say, okay, so they leave and they come back a few hours later. And imagine when the parent walks in, they see one of their friends sitting right on the couch. And so if you're a parent, you know how that just can do funny things to you. And so imagine you see this, and so you pull them aside, and you're angry if you're a parent, and you say to them, I thought I told you not to have your friends over. And imagine the student saying, well, I didn't. So I'm looking at one of your friends right now. So, oh, misunderstanding. You said don't have your friends over. That's plural. I had a friend over. Clearly that's singular. Apology accepted. You know, just imagine that. Okay, imagine if you're married and you have a spouse, and then you've said, you know, one says to the other, all right, just make sure that you don't go crazy while I'm gone this weekend and buy another one. All right? And so when that spouse comes back and they see that they bought another one, they say, I thought we had an agreement, said we did. So you're not supposed to go crazy and buy any more. Well, as you can see, I'm not crazy. I was perfectly sane when I got that one, right? You see? I mean, we like to find these just little things. Why are you looking at me? So another example is, all right, look, I thought we agreed that you would not leave till midnight or that you wouldn't leave at midnight. I told you don't leave at midnight. I said, well, it was one. You see? I mean, here's the thing. Here's something that we all like to find, and I'm going to put it up right over here. Actually, Clayton is, we like to find loopholes. Every one of us, and this is what we're going to be talking about today. You know, and in fact, if you take the two big categories of Christians in really not just our culture, but beyond, you got the Catholics and the Protestants, and you see loopholes in both. All right, you can see, just imagine someone who is Catholic and someone looking at them and saying, well, I thought you weren't supposed to do that. It's like, oh, it's okay, though. Because on Sunday, I'll just go to the priest, I'll go to confession, they'll say all these prayers, and everything's going to be all good, right? Well, what happens if you die before Sunday? Well, I don't even think about that. So, but if someone's Protestant, then it's the same thing, but except they just skip the priest. Yeah, I know I shouldn't do that, but we're all sinners anyway, you know? I mean, so, you know, the Bible says that if you pray, then he forgives and all that. So, I mean, yeah, I'm not supposed to, but, you know, nobody's perfect and all that. And so, it's funny because when we look for these loopholes, we look for, you know, we focus on one scripture, but we ignore another. That's very easy to do, all right? Instead of taking the Bible as a whole, it's like, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't put stuff like that on Facebook. You're representing the Lord. You're representing the church and all this type of stuff. And it's like, yeah, but on the other hand, the Bible does say to speak truth, right? I mean, we can always find a way to justify and find these little loopholes. It's like, you know, yeah, maybe I shouldn't, but this, you know, and, you know, yeah, you know, I wasn't going to, but this, and it's but, and Pee Wee Herman once said, but, everybody I know has a big butt. Maybe it doesn't apply, but here's the thing about loopholes is that we you'd think that someone that's like a loophole Christian wouldn't like the Bible, but they do. They just only like parts of it, right? And I say they. It's all of us at different times, really. And so Jesus ran into this all the time, and we're going to be in Matthew 15 for a good portion. So if you want to go to the Bible app, or if you brought your Bible along, so here's what we're dealing with. So God had put the law in place, the commandments. You have the Ten Commandments, but you also have the 600 plus other, commands. And so he's going to be talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. Now the scribes were people who they kept the law. They copied it. They made sure it was good. I mean, to talk about how precise they were. They wouldn't just, write it down at a snail's pace. When they were done, they would count spaces, they would count characters. It was amazing what they would go through. So that was the scribes, but also they would also interpret the law. All right, so they were kind of like lawyers in that sense. And then you have the Pharisees. Unlike their wealthy counterparts, the Sadducees, they were more common men, also religious leaders, and they also focused on keeping the law. So both of them were focused on keeping the law, but what happened is that they were keeping the law without paying attention to the heart of the law, of what the law was actually about, the intent of the law. And so sometimes they would just add law. Well, not sometimes, a lot. They would add law. They would add a bunch to help them keep the law. It's like, okay, on the Sabbath, I'm supposed to rest, so I can only walk so many steps. Don't walk beyond that. And so we see this throughout the scriptures. So they would add these things to help them keep the law, but as we'll see today, they also added some to get out of following God's law. All right, so we're going to be Matthew 15, as I said. So let's just jump right into it. Matthew 15, let's look at verses 1 and 2. All right, so the Pharisees and the scribes, all right, they came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." All right. Not why do they break God's law? Why do they break the tradition of the elders like us? We've created these laws, not only us, but the ones that have come before us. They're not worried about God's law, they're worried about their own, their tradition. See, the priests, they had different stuff that God had given them. All right, in order to be ceremonial clean, to put yourself in a position to do these different things as a representative for the people. And in a way, my representative as well. Then you have to do all these things in order to be ceremonial clean. Well, they decided, everybody should do that. God never said that. So we need to wash our hands before this and that. So, well, you need to wash your hands too. And so that was one of the things. So why don't they wash their hands? We've said you're not supposed to wash your hands. God said, he told us, don't wash, you need to have your hands washed. So don't wash your, and see, they're starting to add stuff, subtract stuff and all that. All right, so let's go to verse 3. And it's kind of funny because whenever you see people talk to Jesus in kind of an accusatory way, this doesn't go very well. Well, he answered them. Jesus did. Well, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? That everybody would get quiet after saying that. That's a mic drop moment because nobody talks to them that way. Nobody talks to them that way. And yet he called them out. So why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? Now, he hadn't gotten specific yet. So they're probably like, what are you talking about? So verse 4, he gets a little more clear. For God commanded, honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. Wow. All right, so let's talk about that just a little bit. Now, first of all, I have to say, parents, let's make sure that we don't use that with our kids out of context. Why should you obey me? Because if you don't, you shall surely die. That's probably not a good thing to do. So here's kind of what happened with this. All right, so let's read a little bit more. So we get a little more clear. So let's go, we'll read verse 4 again through verse 6. Next one. Go ahead. You have 4 through 6? I'll read it. All right, no sweat. For God commanded, honor father and mother, and whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me give it is given to God. So he need not honor his father. For the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. Well, let me explain that a little bit. This is what they had done. All right, so they had said, God had said, you have to honor your father and mother. Now, the thing is, we like to think about that for our children. All right, but there's no age limit on that. It's like once you're out of your teenagers, then you no longer have to do it. All right, now remember, Jesus is talking about these expert, he's talking to these expert theologians as he's doing this that no one would ever question. All right, so now, when you continue to take care of your parents, as they get older, it's more time-consuming. It costs more money, especially then when they often lived in the same house. And so these guys didn't want all of their money to just be handed over because their parents were getting older. It's like, ooh. All right, so they decided, we're going to come up with our own law. They used one of God's commandments. It talked about dedicating everything to God. They used that one, and they said, okay, all of our money is dedicated to God. So, Mom, Dad, I would love to help you out, but all my money is dedicated to God, and I can't give it to you because what if God needs it for something? Wow. Ooh. And Jesus is actually pointing this out in front of everybody. So again, they added laws to help them keep the commands of God, but sometimes just to get out of it. Now, as we talk about this, let's keep in mind, let's find ways that we try to get out of what God says through a loophole, all right? There's always ways that we can find it where it is going to relate to you and me. All right, now, how did Jesus feel about this? Let's go to verse 7. Through 9. Calls them out. You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, these people, they honor me with their lips. Their hearts are far from me. In vain, like useless, do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. They're teaching as if it's from God, doctrines of the commandments of men. All right. Now, again, we do this. We like to foggy up some of the things that God's clear about, and we like to find those foggy things as our defense for doing things that we want to do. Just think about it. It's like, I would go forgive them, because I know God wants me. But at the same time, the scriptures talk about bad company corrupts good morals. So I can't go over to forgive them for fear that I'll be corrupted. You know what I mean? We could do these things in our minds to justify, and we like to find these loopholes, and it just doesn't work. But check out the next slide. This is big. Jesus doesn't like us to use his father's words to avoid his father's will. And this is so often what we do. I mean, we just kind of pick and choose. So let me ask you a question. This is one of those, just give me some very quick answers. Why do we do this? Why do we try to find a loophole when God is tugging on our hearts or outright just through a scripture says it or whatever? Why do we try to find a loophole to get out of doing it? Convenience. We don't want to, whatever that is. What else, someone? Selfishness. Yes, what else? Yeah, that's good. We'll actually get to that. Very good. What else? It makes us feel better to do it our way. We'll touch on that in a little bit, too. Also, back here, someone? Conviction. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons, right? There's a lot of reasons why we just know, but we talk ourselves out of it, and we find a loophole, we find a way to justify not doing it. Now, I think that one of the reasons, and I'm not sure this is actually, I'm not trying to say it, but like we think that it's actually better to do what we want than what God wants. Now, we would never say it, like, that wouldn't make sense. We just, no, obviously not. But I think that it's like, I'd prefer not to forgive that person, so I won't. because I think it's better for me to not have to go through that weirdness to do that. I mean, whatever it is, I just think it's better not to. Even off on paper, even if I would admit, God, I mean, yeah, God's way is right in every way. But there's something that makes us just say, you know what? I just don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to. And what I want, I'm going to go with that rather than what God wants. So this seems basic, but let's answer it. Another question, why does God ask us to do anything? Give me some answers. Obedience. He wants an obedient heart. That's one reason. Sometimes it's just to see maybe if we're going to be obedient to it, even though he knows. What else? So he wants to give us direction. Yeah, why else? Why does God just tell us, do this? For our own good. Absolutely. Or for the good of others. It's another one. Also for God's glory, so that he might be glorified. So all those are right. But here's something that we must believe in order to do what God wants us to do. We must believe that what God wants for us is better than what we want for us. Sounds like such a simple thing. Because if we believe, I mean, sometimes we have that tension going on. We've talked about tension in the series where I just don't want to. But if we believe, okay, I don't want to in any way, but what God wants for me is better than what I want for me. If we believe that, then we're probably more likely, the more that we believe it, the more likely we are to actually do what God would have us do, even though we always have that tension. All right, so let's put up some ways that we can spot loophole thinking in our own lives. All right, I think that'll be helpful. All right, so we look for reasons. When God prompts our heart, we look for reasons to not follow him. We look for a way out rather than reasons to follow him. That one's huge. I mean, think about that. When God tugs on your heart or when he tugs on my heart, I mean, what's your first thing? Oh, I can't do that. Or I don't want to. Or I'm going to avoid it. I'm not going to think about it. You know, do we look for reasons not to follow him? All right, we play the yes, but game. It's like, okay, scriptures are clear. Yeah, but. Or, you know what? Someone talks to us. Here's something you really need to think about. Yeah, but we all, that's the yes, but game. All right, and I would say the last one's big too. Verses or just biblical truths, they angry us. What I mean is whenever something comes up about serving, and I don't mean just here, I just mean beyond, or giving or loving or forgiving or God's grace to people that don't deserve it, just like us, it actually makes us a little bit angry. I think those are some good ways to identify some of the loophole thinking that we all have. And I think that one of the things that would help us is if we try this. If we, let's say there's something that we know that God just wants us to do. I mean, we just know it, all right? We just kind of feel that tug. And we know we're going against what he would have us do. I think one of the things that could be helpful for us is to actually out loud say it to him. For example, the Pharisees. Imagine Jesus saying, all right, so honor your father and mother. With, let's say it was just about the money, about with your money, honor your father and mother. So imagine them saying out loud, I can't honor my father and mother because I have dedicated this stuff to God. If you just say something like that, then we can't even get it out because we just know. Because imagine Jesus saying, yes, and I told you to honor your father and mother with it. Yes, but if we say it out loud, then we just kind of spot it. Or if we say it to somebody else, that's actually probably harder. If we just try to say, all right, here's what I'm thinking. And then we say it out loud, then we just know it when we say it. So I just think it's a little trick, I think, to help us. All right, so the question we're going to ask is, why do we do this? All right, and this can go in any sermon that we give, because it's true. It's because there's a tug of war that's going on. All right, now, so first I'm going to define for us, because I'm going to be in Galatians. It will not be up there. It's going to be in Galatians 5. And it's going to talk about the flesh and it's talk about the spirit. So let me give you a definition of the flesh. First of all, that's just sinful. Someone mentioned it's human nature. It's our sinful nature that we all possess, all right? That's where something in us is just opposing the right thing. And we have a bent toward the wrong thing, wickedness, evil, whatever you want to call it. It's also the physical desires. But it's anything that would cause us to want, it's the flesh. It wants us to do something that God doesn't want us to do. Right? That's the flesh. Whenever you have that temptation and you have that thing that's the flesh. All right? And so I want to bring this up because the more we understand this, even going into this week, and in our lives, I think the better off we're going to be. If we understand this tension going on. So there's the flesh, right? The other one is the spirit. Now, on one level, the spirit, it's kind of this thing that, you know, it's that part of us that's open to God, all right? But also, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. So when a person becomes a Christ follower, there's something we can't comprehend. It's the Father, Son, and Spirit. They've eternally existed as one, but yet they have their distinct personality, their own distinct. So it's three in one. It's just one and three. And so it's hard for us to understand, but when we become Christ followers, the Spirit somehow comes into us. So when you're a believer, we have the Spirit, all right? So that's also what it's talking about. Now, the Spirit is what empowers us, you know, to walk in obedience. It's what helps us understand the Father. It's the Spirit, all right? And so when it talks about the flesh, it talks about the Spirit. This is what it's talking about, all right? So it talks about how they're at war with each other, but not in the way we would think. I once saw a Facebook post, and it had Jesus in an arm wrestling contest with Satan, all right? And they were both, you know, like this. And that I think that's how I think a lot of us grow up thinking about it, but there's no accuracy in that at all. There's no, you know, whoa, who's going to win the battle? You know, Ali Frazier, I mean, who's going to win this thing? I don't know. It's not that. I mean, in fact, the scriptures are clear. At one point, it's going to be like, okay, you're done away with. You know, there's no equal battle going on, all right? The only equal battle is felt in you and me because we feel the tension of who we were before we were Christ followers and we were living. All we had was the flesh. We had no spirit, right? So when we become a Christ follower, it bleeds over and we need to learn to live by the Spirit, all right? That very Spirit that He gave us that empowers us, that strengthens us, that we can overcome sin by. We couldn't do that by the flesh at all. We had no power to do it, all right? So that's the flesh and that's the Spirit. The first thing I remember inside a year of being a Christ follower, reading this, and I don't know, it just jumped out to me, and it's always been one of my favorite verses, and it's Galatians 5:1. It says, for freedom Christ set us free. So He didn't set you free in order to continue to be handcuffed by sin. No, you have been set free. So stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Like, don't let yourself be handcuffed all over again. It's like imagine yourself in a jail. There's a story about Peter early in Acts that the chains fall off and the door flies open, and so he walks out of the jail cell. Well, imagine if he just stayed there as if he were still enslaved. God say, no, the chains fell off, the door's open, walk in freedom. This is what it's saying. Don't fall back. Don't live as if you are a prisoner of the flesh again, like you used to be, because you're not anymore. You have been empowered to overcome sin. Sin can no longer overcome you. We always have that tension, but we've been empowered. All right, so now I'm going to skip to verses 16 through 24. This is Paul writing to people in Galatia. But I say, walk by the Spirit. So what happens if we walk by the Spirit? You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Like, you will not. No chance. It doesn't mean that we'll never sin. It's just saying, in that moment, if you're actually walking by the Spirit, then you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. I love that, because you don't want to sin. There's that temptation, but we don't want, you know, if one of your struggles is lust, all right? And if you're a Christ follower and you're walking around and you see those magazines that have pictures and you're like, in that moment, you don't want to look. You don't want to look. And there's that thing that's pulling you like, ah, and then you look, you're like, I did it again. You're not excited about it. You're not happy. That's what's changed, because you no longer live by the flesh. You actually feel guilty. You wish you didn't. All right? That's where everything has changed. So the thing about the flesh is that it keeps us from doing the things that we want to do, that we actually want to do. We want to walk by and not look. We don't want to overreact in anger. You know, we don't want to gossip. We gossip and, oh, that's great, 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 great. And then later we feel, oh, terrible. Why would I even do that? No, we don't even want to do that anymore. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And that means, look, before the Spirit, all we had was the law to guide us. That's it. Don't do this stuff. But then once you're by the Spirit, you're then led by the Spirit. The law, in a way, no longer applies to you and me. All right. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. They are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, and sorcery, and enmity, and strife, and jealousy, and fits of anger, and rivalries, and dissensions, and divisions, and envy, and drunkenness, and things like goes on and on. That's the thing. And we have to be careful to say, well, wow, there's like 9, 10, 11. That's a lot. I only do 3. I'm good. We want to be careful. We don't want to do that. It's a loophole. You know, we're not. This is not baseball. Bat 300 and you're doing great. No, this is not what we're doing. And he says this, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean if you fall to temptation or if you sin that you're not going to have eternity with the Father. What it's saying, if that's what your life looks like, all that's your pattern of life, that's your direction, then not really, you don't have the Spirit, then you are by the flesh. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, this is what's supposed to, I had a funny thought. This is what's supposed to come out of you and me when it's crunch time, all right? Things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All right, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passion and desire. It's been nailed to the cross. It's been taken care of. The battle has been won. All right? So how do we do this? How do we do this? And Galatians 5, I think all of Galatians would be great to read. 5 is awesome. What's the solution? How do we do this? Well, Galatians 5, 25 says, then if you live by the Spirit, then walk by the Spirit. Very simple. What it's saying, all right, if you have become a Christ follower, how'd you do it? By the flesh? No. You can't work your way toward it. You can't do anything to do it. You can't do it by the flesh. No. It's by the Spirit. God did a work on our heart, right? He opened our heart. Regeneration, all these big words that go into all that stuff. And he opens our life, he opens our heart, and then the Holy Spirit comes into us, but it's all by the Holy Spirit's work in our life. So how do we become a Christ follower? It was by the Spirit. That's what's been put inside of us, right? And nothing, that was it. So if that's the way you became a Christ follower, then that's how you should live. That's how you should live your everyday life. The problem is we get the Spirit and then we try to walk according to the flesh. You know, all the stuff that the flesh, I was thinking about this just the other day as I was thinking about when I have my downtime. I've been in, there was a time when I'm in the Scriptures, but it wasn't like I needed to be, all right? And there was a time that I found when I had my time, everybody was asleep, I'd already done my work, and then I was like, man, I would go to Netflix for a refreshment. That's not bad. But I started thinking the other day, it's like, if I'm always going to Netflix, I'm like, is that, again, it's not necessarily bad, but am I letting the flesh stuff kind of rule over? Is that what I really need? Or do I need more, something by the Spirit? If I'm deciding by the Spirit, then sometimes I'll watch Netflix, the shows I watch on there. Other times I'll be like, man, I just need to be in God's Word. I need to pray. I need to spend time with Him. So I just need to decide. I need to actually walk by the Spirit because it's a spiritual battle. And this is one of the things that's one of those, it's hard to comprehend. It's hard to actually get. And it takes practice. And it just does, and so here's the thing, how do we do this? How do we do this? Well, let's put up the 5 things that God uses to grow your faith. I think it's the next slide. They're not popping up. Okay, so 5 things God uses to grow your faith. Sometimes a computer gets weird, so. All right, so practical teaching, it's sermons, but not just here. We have Right Now Media that has thousands of awesome, things you can do on your own time. Relationships, the providential, the ones that after you spend time investing in relationships, you look back and say, I can see why God put them in my life. I can. Private disciplines, prayer, giving, scriptures and all that. Personal ministry, that's serving, not only here, but beyond here. Pivotal circumstances, we can't cause that one to happen, but we can recognize that. The more that we're diving into those first 4, we actually have action things that we can do with those first. Let's leave it up. All right. So what do we do? What do we do with this, all right? How do we, here's what we do. We listen. We listen to the Lord. As we navigate these, we open our heart because when someone brings up the Bible, and you're like, oh, I can't read the Bible, it's too much, but I know I need to read the Bible. Then that's one of those things, All right? So how do we decide that? Do we decide by the flesh? I hate to read. I get that. I used to be that same way. Or by the Spirit. I need God, man. I don't know any other way to get His Word inside of me like I need to without reading the Scripture. So it's so we navigate. We open our lives up, but we navigate this. We listen to the Father. Whenever He brings up stuff, like we have community groups that we're going to start back up here in a little bit, and it's like, you know, the providential relationships. I mean, we can find our own loophole. Well, I have friends, and I can see they put my spouse in my life. And like, no, we're talking about something different. We're talking about where you have conversations about the Lord, about your life, about how God works in people's lives, and praying for one another. We're talking about something completely different, all right? So we decide by the Spirit. That's what we do. We open our life up. We listen to the Lord. We tugs on our heart, and we navigate this. And what do? We are obedient. We say yes. We say okay. All right. I mean, these providential teen group, providential relationships, you know, they meet right after this. And I'm going to be there. I know I need this in my life. It's clear through the Scriptures. I'm not just going to find them on my own. So that's how we do it. I mean, we're obedient. We open our life up to the Lord, and we will be amazed at how He works in our life. And what will be amazing is that we're going to see what He does. We'll see what He does as a result of us following Him. And what we'll start doing is that we'll start looking at things and say, you know what? I'm going to find reasons. We'll do it naturally. I'm going to find reasons to follow Him instead of reasons not to follow Him. You'll see that shift in your life. In fact, it's kind of like an opposite loophole, because everything's going to tell you, and people will tell you, they won't say it this way. They won't say, hey, don't follow the Lord in this. They won't say that. Well, to say, you know what, you know, on Sunday morning, let's go do that. Let's, you know what, this kind of tug you in another direction, and everything's going to be telling you, you know what, look at your circumstances. If there was a good God, He would not have let that happen. All these things of our flesh are going to be telling you, and you're going to look for a loophole. You know what? Everything is saying that, but you know what? I remember that time that God was faithful, so I'm going to listen to that. I mean, all that's true. That's tough, and I don't know what to do there, but I'm just going to trust God. We're not going to try to find a loophole out. We're going to kind of look for a loophole actually in. And so this week, and I can put this list on Facebook, and we're going to come back to this forever. This is something that we'll always use. This week, I don't know. You can spend some time just thinking about those things that you've talked yourself out of doing, that you've looked for a loophole. There's so many of them, right? We have them. And then maybe there it's like, Lord, just this is a prayer. Lord, help me to open my life up to You. Help me to trust You. Help me to be obedient to You. Because I'm just going to decide to trust that what You want for me is better than what I want for me. All right, let's say a prayer. My Lord and God, thank You so much for today. As we stand in this humid room, I'm just thankful that that everyone here that showed up and that we gather in Your name. And I pray that You just help us to spot things in our life as a result of the sermons and conversations and music and everything else. We don't want to be, in quotes, loophole Christians where we're finding ways to not follow You. They're not good for anybody. It's not good for us. It's not good for those that are close to us. And it's not good to build the type of trust we need in You in order to follow You, that You might use us for our good, the good of others, and for Your glory. So, Lord, I pray that this week, as we're getting these little tugs in our heart, and we get this little feeling of not wanting to, and we begin to justify it, I pray, Lord, that we say, oh, I'm trying to find a loophole. And I pray that it doesn't crush us. I pray that it brings almost a smile to our face to say, you know what? Not this time. Not this time. Because I am making a decision right now. I'm not sure how it all works, but I am actually going to decide upon the Spirit and not the flesh that wants me to do other things that are not what You want me to do, Lord. I pray that these very simple things that we do this week, at the same time, Lord, I know some of these things will be hard. And we've had loopholes for a long time. So, Lord, this is where trust is developed. When we do something we don't want to do, we say something we don't want to say because we want to trust You more. And, Lord, when we see how You work through obeying You, then we'll be more likely to trust You in our present and whatever future that You give us. So, Lord, I thank You so much. I thank You so much. Thank you for everybody here. I pray that you touch their heart. You give them what they need. You help them grow. You surround them with people that will help them grow. And when it comes to you, Lord, that when you give us what you'd have us do, help us to be people that are all about yes and not yes, but. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.